Hello, hello. This is Amy Yamada, business coach for coaches, trainers, and entrepreneurs. And I have a very special guest speaker for today's training call that I'm truly excited to introduce to all of you. So joining me today is my dear friend and colleague, Heather Pierce Campbell. She's an attorney, legal coach, and success strategist, and the owner of Legal Website Warrior. I just love that name. You can find her online at legalwebsitewarrior.com. That's legalwebsitewarrior.com. And the theme for today's training call is this: build a legally legit business, the essential legal documents you must have as a professional and credible entrepreneur. I couldn't be more excited about having Heather on this call because this is the type of information I wish I had access to when I first launched my business. And so this is something that I want all of you to hear, especially if you're a newer entrepreneur, a coach that's just starting your coaching business, and or even somebody who's been in business for a while but really hasn't set yourself, if you haven't set yourself legally with documents and contracts and all that good stuff, then this call is definitely for you. So I'm super excited to have you here, Heather, and today we're going to talk about some of the legal documents that you must have to be a legit business owner. And I was thinking back before today's call, I remember launching my business back in 2011 and trying to create my own kind of quote-unquote agreements and terms and conditions. You know, I'd find any templates online or look at other people's terms and conditions. I was like, okay, I'll use this as a template. I'll create my own, and I'm legit, you know. So really, I knew that I felt like such an amateur until I made the decision to take my business to a whole new level, which was ironically when I met Heather, and she really made sure that I crossed all my T's and dotted my I's when it came to my most essential legal documents to run my business. So Heather, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I am so happy to be here.
Absolutely.
I feel like a big part of my work, and truthfully one of the most important parts, is really helping just lay the foundation for people, both on the education side of what they need, but then obviously implementing the tools as well. And I think, you know, a lot of people can relate to, and I've heard it before from many of my clients, like it's really hard to get the education that you need around, like, just, you know, legal stuff. When anybody even says legal, it's kind of like, ah, feels overwhelming. It is overwhelming. And people tend to just not know where to turn to get, you know, the basic information about what it is that they need. And there seem to be like so many moving parts. And so my goal, I mean, my intention for today is to just help break that down, make it feel much easier and more simple for people so that they really clearly understand what the tools are, where they fit, how they get used in their business.
Oh, that's so great. And do you mind, before we jump into the actual training, just giving us a little bit more of your background?
Absolutely. So I am an attorney based here in Seattle as well. I've been practicing law for 13 years. Largely, the majority of that time has been in managing my own legal practice. And so I've worked with, over the course of that time, I've worked in of counsel positions to various firms throughout Seattle, and then I've managed my own practice. And through that work, I've had some great exposure to different types of law, but the main themes throughout my legal practice have been business and real estate. And on the business side, it's really working with businesses to get things like this in place, everything from business formation to all of the legal contracts and documents that it takes to protect the business once it's up and going. And I'm the weird one. Like in law school, I was the one who loved drafting, loved writing contracts. And a lot of people, it's like, you know, seems very boring or weird, and I loved it. So it's always just been a niche of mine, and I think it's because I love language and I love clarity and I love also problem solving. And so something that's kind of unique to my practice is that I have both litigation and transactional experience. And what that means, most people in law live kind of on one side or the other. They either do transactional work, you know, working on the document side, or they do litigation work, you know, solving problems after they've started. And having experience in both, the benefit to me and the benefit to my clients is that it greatly informs the drafting side of my practice. When you litigate problems and you see what issues come up in real life, you understand better how to plan for those and how to prepare stronger documents to protect people from those. So it's been, you know, it's been work that I really enjoy. I love business. I love working with people in business. So it's been a lot of fun.
Right. Absolutely. And I just think that if there's one thing that I've learned over the years amongst many other important things in business is that I love having things that provide me peace of mind. You know, and Heather, I know you and I have talked about this a lot over the years. And when you decide to kind of try to take these shortcuts and create your own forms and agreements that aren't really legally binding and all of that, then it doesn't give you that peace of mind. You know, it doesn't give you that same kind of protection and just really making sure that from a communication level that you're on the same page as your clients, or even if you have joint venture partnerships, things like that. So I really believe that if you're going to invest in something in your business, beyond mentorship, of course, it's definitely really looking into things that give you peace of mind. And to me, having the right legal documents, the essential legal documents, both online or if you are a business owner that does a lot of transactional business in person, just having those crucial pieces of paper that really are more powerful than you think is so crucial. Mm-hmm. So that being said, should we just jump right in? I know we've
got
great topics that we wanted to share with our entrepreneurs today. So would you like
to do that? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Awesome. So I know we were talking about this prior to today's call, but what would you say are the essential legal documents that an entrepreneur should have? And I want all of you to take notes on this. You're going to want to write this down, okay? So what are the essential legal documents an entrepreneur should have?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it is the place to start. And before I get started, I need people to understand, again, this is the attorney in me. I have to always provide a disclaimer that I'm providing you legal information today and that in doing this, I'm not creating an attorney-client relationship with anybody. It's just important that people understand that so that there's no, from the state bar perspective, it's just a requirement that I do that. But that
said,
you're going to get a lot of great information. To know exactly what obviously applies to you and your scenario, you'd want to talk to somebody one-on-one, an attorney or myself or anybody that could help you in this department. But these are going to be generally applicable to anybody in business. So the first thing is business structure. And a lot of people, you know, think, well, business structure is something that should happen way down the road. It, you know, I don't need to think about it yet. There may be some truth in that, but let's just talk about what having a business structure does. So as a sole proprietor, and many people start off in business functioning like a sole proprietor, from a tax and a liability perspective, your business and yourself are treated as like one and the same. You are your business. Your business is you. Again, from a tax and liability perspective. And what that means is that if you were to do something in your business that causes any problems or liability for you, all of your personal assets are essentially subject to risk. And so if something were to happen, if somebody were to make a claim against you or win a lawsuit, you know, that's when people's homes and personal assets are on the line. So there are a lot of benefits to functioning as a sole proprietor, but there's also a lot of risk. And so the business structure component comes in, first of all, when you have personal assets to protect, which many of us do, or you are somebody who is just serious about growing your business, which means that you want to treat your business entity and your personal life separately, you know, and most people who are serious about business get that. They do it early. They put the protection in place, and then they just don't have to worry about it. And any business structure, including an LLC, offers some protection against that personal liability for anything done in your business. And so, you know, the question then becomes, well, what's right for you? That's where you would want to talk with probably both your accountant or, you know, tax strategy person. The reason I say that is because and not just an attorney. You can have both obviously on your team. But your tax person is going to be very aware of where you've been. And if you've been in business for a few years, they help you look at the numbers. They help you make a very practical decision based on you know, what you've made, what your projections are, kind of where you're trending, to help you know which structure is going to be best for you. Because you choose a business structure based on your financial position, based on the level of protection you want, based on your expectations around your business and tax strategy. So all those things kind of go into that one piece, but it's super easy to get that kind of help from somebody who is a qualified tax preparer, so a CPA or somebody that has the, you know, strategic experience from a tax perspective, as well as an attorney to help you actually, you know, put that in place. So that's square one, is the business structure. And then the next things that we'll talk about can vary from person to person depending what business you're in, but generally there's going to be some big ones that overlap. And one are standard contracts in your business. So let's pretend for a moment that you're somebody who delivers services. You are going to want to have a standard contract in place for all of your client services that you deliver. And whether that's one-on-one work, whether that's group work, whether it's online group work, you want a standard contract in place to cover that. And, you know, let's talk briefly, because contracts, you know, they do the same thing. They, regardless of what aspect of your work they are covering and they're protecting, the goal is to do a couple things. One is provide clarity for both of you, both you and your client. Some people see contracts like fences, like, oh, well, if I'm putting a contract in place, and that signals to somebody that I don't trust them, or, you know, they get kind of these, and they're totally okay fears to have. They're typically, you know, come up for people when they're new in business, and so you hear that a lot. But the reality is, like, look at contracts like a tool. They are so helpful because they put down in language exactly what you guys are agreeing to, and they become a guiding document throughout the course of your relationship. If something comes up, if a question arises, you both have a document to look back on that talks about what you agreed to. So, you know, number one, contracts provide clarity, and then next, they provide generally, they're going to give you a lot of help for resolving a dispute if one comes up. And that is really important because the alternative, which we'll talk about in a bit through some examples, is not very fun. So just remember, you need standard contracts in place for any, you know, any work that you're doing with clients in your business. The next tool is going to be website protection. So if you're somebody who has a website, then there are a couple of documents that are legal documents that you need on your website. And these are often glossed over. And let's talk about why for a moment. So the two documents that should exist on anybody's website are a website terms and conditions and a privacy policy. And Amy, I know you and I have worked on this and getting this in place for your business.
Yeah, and they're on my website now.
Excellent.
Yes.
And it's an easy one to overlook because people tend to think like, okay, you know, they put their website up, it's, you know, delivering great value. They can't really control who visits it, or who visits the website or what people do there. So they tend to not think that, like, any rules apply. And the reality, and I try to, you know, guide people to a new way of thinking on this, is that you own a portion of the World Wide Web. If you have a website, that's like, think of it as your online real estate. You get to set the rules about what happens when people visit your real estate. Just like you wouldn't let somebody walk onto your real property and misbehave and take things and do whatever they want, you know, essentially, the rules that you put into your terms and conditions for your website are the rules that you expect people to follow in regards to your content, your services, your, you know, the language you use. And again, we'll talk about a few examples in a minute about what happens when you don't have that in place. The privacy policy, on the other hand, is more about just fulfilling your obligation as a business owner to let people know what you are doing with their private information. So if you have a website that collects any kind of data, and let's go over what kinds of data are collected briefly. We know, obviously, there are you know, lead magnets and ways that you can collect people's information by getting them to sign up for something or input, you know, their information to sign up even for a newsletter, or maybe they even can purchase something on your website so you get everything from their name and address and email address to let their billing information as well. So there's all of that information that's collected or provided voluntarily, and then there is a, you know, a whole other level of data that's collected through most modern websites that have to do with cookies and tracking and analytics and all this stuff that can truthfully track everything down to, you know, somebody's IP address and what device they're using to access your website, you know, and it may not be totally personal identifiable information, but it comes close. I mean, you get to know, again, IP addresses, you know, who their service provider is, what zip code they're accessing from. So there's a lot of data that gets collected through most modern websites. And your privacy policy just lets people know what you're doing with that information, how they modify it, how they delete it, how they change it, how they get off your list if they want to. So think of your privacy policy as a protection for you, because you are letting people know, you know, that you are complying with industry standards. And so, for example, there'll be a section on there that talks about what happens if you were to end up with a child's information, which sometimes happens, and that's against the law. So there's ways to deal with that, and it needs to be addressed in your privacy policy. And then also, just as a favor to your customers, letting them know how they can contact you, how they modify their information, what information is collected, et cetera. So those are two documents that should exist on your website. And even though I went over those quickly, Amy can tell you there's quite a bit of content that gets covered in both of those.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's something where when Heather describes her experience in law school of enjoying doing this, that's where I'm like, okay, we have a lot in common, but that's a lot of details. And I'm so grateful that she enjoys doing that, and she really thinks about all the different areas that need to be covered in these very important documents. And just from an entrepreneurial standpoint too, and Heather, you and I have talked about this, when you think about, you know, the contracts and the terms and conditions and the privacy policy, I also like to think about how it really aligns you with the best of the best, right? It really shows that you care about how legit your business is. So even from, if you want to look at it from a marketing standpoint, it really does appear and is truthfully aligned with having a legit, professional, credible business. So when you were saying, Heather, about how sometimes people feel uncomfortable about having these legally binding contracts, I will tell you, it's all in how you choose to view it and how you choose to present it to your clients. You know, if you make it a big deal, like, I'm so sorry, you have to sign this contract. Well, think about any other large purchase that you make when you're the client. You know, when you buy a car or when you buy a house or even when you lease an apartment or a condo, it's not like, oh, yeah, here's just a sheet of paper that we can both sign that's kind of a nice Word document with some bullet points, or nothing at all. I know sometimes people, when they launch their businesses, they don't want to kind of deal with all of that. And so they think, oh, well, you know, I'm sure we're on the same page. We really like each other. So she's just going to pay me, or he's just going to pay me up front in full, or maybe it's going to be several payments. Or on the other hand, we've agreed that he or she will pay me after I've delivered my services.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you what, even when you think that you're dealing with the nicest, most wonderful people, I have learned the hard way. When I first launched my business in that first year, I had two different people really took advantage of me, you know, and I trusted them. They came across as really kind people, and it may not even be that they're such bad people. They just got in over their heads on putting on these huge events that I was part of and that kind of a thing. And at the end of the day, I had given them so much of my time and my energy and my hard work and my services. At the end of the day, they didn't pay me. And it's like stealing, you know, it's like they've taken something from me that they can't give back, and they just kind of disappeared. And so I had nothing really to cover me, and I had wished that I had gone back in time and been able to have these contracts created. So whether or not you feel comfortable or uncomfortable at the very beginning and having contracts, just know that at some point you will very likely learn the hard way, like I did, you know, about what can happen when you don't have them. So They're so much more important than you would imagine. Mm-hmm.
You're right. And it is, I think, really important for people to understand a couple things about modern business and about doing business online. And it's really mm-hmm. not meant to be a scare tactic. So a little more about me. I was raised by a dad who is like super entrepreneurial, both in business and in real estate. He's somebody who people like to do business with. He's kind of like do business on a handshake guy. You know what I mean? And I've seen mm-hmm. that side of business. I totally get it. And yet, when you take, and I'm going to call it, because he's pretty old school, I'm going to call it like our grandfather's business model, and you apply mm-hmm. that in modern times, there's a couple of reasons why it doesn't work. You know, back in our grandfather's day, and I have this on my website, like it's one of the themes that I have to remind people of, like we, you know, if we had been a generation or two ahead, like we owned a shop, right? That's the only way we sold our right. services or our goods, and we got to see face-to-face whoever walked into our business. We got to have a sense of whether they were there for the right reasons, you know, all of that stuff. You get to vet your customers that way. Online, mm-hmm. it's a whole different world. It's amazing because we open ourselves up to do large volumes of business and, you know, business with people around the world, and there's so much fun about it. I mean, I just love it. But mm-hmm. at the same time, you are also opening yourself up to the fact that, you know, there are going to be people who don't know you and you don't know them. And it truly is a cost of doing business that at some point, now or later, you will have somebody that comes into your place of business and who you do business with who either is just a dishonest person or, you know, had issues going on for some reason, decides to, you know, steal from you or not pay for your services or whatever it may be. And it's just the reality of doing business. And I learned that at a young age because my dad, he owned active businesses, right? He did Wendy's franchises. He started his own video store, which turned into a big franchise. Like all of this stuff where we got to see day in and day out how businesses operated, exposure with all of the customers and clients. And, you know, sure enough, pretty much on an annual basis, he'd get somebody who would like come in to like Wendy's, for example, and, you know, intentionally, you know, anyways, all kinds of crazy stories, but like putting, there was this woman who got caught doing it. Like she would put bugs and weird stuff in the food and then she traveled around like the whole Pacific Northwest doing that restaurants to not only get free meals, but to then start lawsuits and try to sue them for additional damages. Anyway, you are just going to find people like that. And there's a lot of, you know, and I'm not in any way meaning to say that there aren't ways that you can spot red flags. There are, and we'll talk about a few of those. But a lot of people in the coaching world are, you know, they get into some of the stuff about like, well, what are you attracting? It's all about the law of attraction, you know. No. Mm-hmm. My response to that is, yes, I believe the law of attraction in certain things. But when it comes to business, it's really just a statistical model. You are going to mm-hmm. have people that are a certain way that end up crossing your path at some point. And it's not because you called them in. It's not because you wanted them there. It's just because there are people in the world who will behave that way.
Right, so, right.
Right? Whether it happens mm-hmm. now or later, we're all going to do business. Luckily for me, like in my law practice over 13 years, I've only ever had two people not fully pay a bill. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and they made partial payments. They just, for whatever reason, couldn't or stopped paying. And both of them were in financial distress. I knew that. And I took them on right. clients anyways, right? So, mm-hmm. but, you know, not too bad. Yet, you know, I'm sure there are many others that in the absence of a client agreement would have caused problems. And let's talk about mm-hmm. that because I have helped clients who did what they were doing for several years without contracts. And then mm-hmm. we put contracts in place and the whole nature of their business changed. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is they would call me back like almost immediately and say, you know, as soon as I started sending standard client agreements over, people were like not trying to fiddle faddle around with my prices anymore. They weren't questioning me on stuff. They were taking my work more seriously. They were more willingly paying the price that I asked.
Right.
This kind of stuff, right? And it is what you were saying, Amy, that it really elevates the presence of your business. You look mm-hmm. professional. People perceive you as professional. You know, when they come to your website and see that you have terms and conditions and a privacy policy at the bottom, they see that you take your business, including your online business, seriously. And truthfully,
right.
when that's missing, they're from a legal and a business perspective, that means that something is missing from your business as well.
Mm-hmm.
And not, you know, not intentionally, but just meaning, you know, it's that foundational piece that we're talking about.
Right.
So cycling back, let's wrap up the question of what other documents you may need as a business person. We've covered the business structure. We've covered standard contracts. We've covered website protection. Depending on what else you do in your business, and this is where, you know, people in business are different. If you're selling widgets, and, you know, and I don't deal so much with people who are in the, like, product industry, but you definitely, like, you would have standard contracts in place for those as well. And even if it's, you know, one-off, you see those in refund policies and receipts and stuff that, you know, serve to essentially be that placeholder for small sales. But let's get back to services. If you're somebody who's doing services and you have other facets of your business like speaking or interviews, or maybe you're doing affiliate or joint venture, you know, programs with other people, then there are standard agreements that you would need to have in place to cover those other aspects of your business. And those, you know, let's talk about speaking or, like, if you conduct interviews. Those give you the right to capture the content, right? So you want mm-hmm. to be able to use that to further promote and market your business. A lot of people don't even think about it till after the fact. And then they, you know, they haven't captured the right to their presentation that they just gave that was recorded by a third party because they were speaking at a third party event. Right? So there's things
right.
that can definitely go missing if you're doing other aspects in your business and you don't have, doesn't have to be complex language, but there has to be contracts in place to cover the other portions of your work. Affiliate agreements, joint venture agreements, those, again, help provide clarity between you and your affiliate or your joint venture partner about who's doing what, who's responsible for promoting, what the schedule is, how, you know, what parts each of you are bringing to the table. Again, really important because in those scenarios, you have the tendency, whenever money's changing hands, you have the tendency to really mm-hmm. open yourself up to things going wrong and there being a misunderstanding. Again, not intentionally, just that when we don't have a document in place that governs our relationship and time moves on, it's the nature of the human brain to forget things or misremember things. We all misremember, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
You know, there's a whole variety of other types of contracts, but just know that for any aspect of your work, there is probably a contract in place. It could be a really simple one that should be covering that portion of your work. And if you want, like if you are somebody who lives online and you're in a service industry type business, if you go to my website, legalwebsitewarrior.com, and actually go to the testimonials page, and then scroll to the bottom, there's a little tool that walks you through, like, if you do this, then you need this, and you just click on the plus signs. But that's, you know, you can make a little note in your mind to do that if you want more of the, you know, every aspect of your business in a services type industry.
So you said that's at the bottom, like you scroll down.
You scroll down, yep.
Yeah.
It's on,
mm-hmm.
if you go to legalwebsitewarrior.com and just click on my testimonials page, scroll right mm-hmm. to the bottom, and you'll see
okay.
that there's kind of a drop-down tool that you can click on that says, if you do this in your business, and then you click the plus, it says, then you need this. So it can just be a fun little walkthrough for you.
That's great, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, so, you know, I would say if we had to pick the key documents out of that, again, I would emphasize business structure, and that's
mm-hmm.
going to be an individual decision based on your income, based on your business, based on your personal assets, but very important and more important than people think up front. And then following that, standard contracts. And even in the absence of a business structure, let's say you're somebody that doesn't have a lot of personal assets, or doesn't have yet maybe the income to justify, you know, hiring a CPA, putting a business structure in place, and maybe it's on your horizon for like a year out, you still should have contracts in place, because contracts can serve as a first line of defense if they're properly drafted, to totally exclude certain claims even being brought in court, right? So if you have a contract in place that says, look, we're not going to be liable for this, this, and this, and somebody brings a claim based on one of those things, you know, the courts really look, the first thing an attorney, the first thing a court will look to is there a contract governing this relationship, right? So contracts become super, super key in the context of any dispute.
Right.
So, yeah, hopefully that was enough of a summary, but, you know, definitely for people's individual businesses, there's going to be additional documents that they could use that will help protect their business, but that we probably don't need to go over here.
Right. So quick question. Those, you know, because I know that a lot of the entrepreneurs who are listening to this call, they may already have their business structure set up, or they may not. And if they don't, I'm sure a lot of them are thinking right now, I don't even know how to do that. Like, you know, they might be Googling online. So how does one set up their business structure? Like, where should they go first to do that?
Right. So there are various ways you can set up your business. It does tend to be, unfortunately, a process that appears to be complex from the outside. It doesn't have to be. And part of my goal through my legal coaching business is to help people break that down so that access to legal services, even though they may not, you know, through legal coaching, be hiring me as an attorney, you know, instead I'm a legal coach and I'm providing them with legal information, they still get the benefit of an attorney providing them with the information that they need to accomplish what they want, right? So there's the traditional route of just going to hire an attorney to help set that up. There's nothing wrong with that route. You're going to get customized advice. They're going to set, you know, help you set up your business and walk you through all of the steps required to get that in place. Generally, what is required in that process is, one, you file what's called formation documents with the Secretary of State. So, you know, you decide on your company structure, you submit the appropriate documentation, you pay the filing fee, and then your business gets registered with the Secretary of State. You'll get back a document that says, okay, it's been registered. And then you're going to do a couple of other things. You're going to probably apply for a federal employer identification number. You're going to apply for a master business license. And then, and that's a state-level license, you're probably also going to have to apply for a city license to be able to do business in your city. And so you can see the various levels and the different kinds of paperwork required, why it becomes complex for some people hunting and pecking online, like where they're supposed to do each of those things, right? And then the other alternative, so, you know, obviously attorney on one side walking you through all of that. The other alternative for some people tends to be, you know, big services like LegalZoom, where you get online and they say, here's what you need, and they put a package together and you pay some price and then they, you know, essentially do it for you. And that can work relatively well. The thing that has surprised me about LegalZoom type of services is that they're oftentimes just as expensive as hiring an attorney to do the same thing, ironically. And maybe not in every scenario, but especially when you're setting up basic structures, they can definitely LegalZoom has a way of making its money. And it's because they you know, they have a customer who's generally not well-informed about what they need, right? You don't know the process. How would you know? So you show up and LegalZoom tells you, you need A, B, C, and X, Y, and Z, and they just kind of throw everything in the basket. You don't have the skill to know, like, what do I need and what don't I need? And so people tend to just overpay, pay for it all.
Right.
So, you know, and that's truthfully, that's where I developed my legal coaching business, is kind of the stopgap between the two. So, you know, my goal is to help people be able to accomplish what they need to do, but also to give them the education necessary to make more responsible choices for themselves. Whether that means getting an attorney to help with one part of it, or maybe LegalZoom doing a small portion of it, but then knowing exactly what's included in the rest of the process so they can either choose to do it themselves and save the money, or have somebody like me help them through the process. So yeah, there are various ways that you can get it done. The process is going to be the same. It's essentially how to get through the process.
Right. It totally makes me think about the process of buying and selling a home, you know, whenever I've done
mm-hmm.
that. You know, whenever people talk about for sale by owner and all of that, I just think, yeah, but I just think about all the stress. And again, everyone has a different opinion on this, but
mm-hmm.
my opinion is I like to invest in things that give me peace of mind. And so I've worked with a wonderful real estate agent over the years, and just the amount of work that he has done for me over the years
mm-hmm.
in terms of, you know, really making sure it's listed properly and that, you know, we've gone through all the different steps to put a house on the market and to, you know, just, I mean, marketing itself. I mean, there's so
mm-hmm.
many little things and then all the different documents and all of that. And I think, you know what, at the end of the day, I'd rather focus on running my business and hiring somebody else who's a professional expert
mm-hmm.
in that area to do all that extra work, because otherwise I feel like I'm losing money anyway because I'm not focusing on what I do best, which is running my business, you know? So
that's
so
right.
Think, why not invest in something that gives you peace of mind and is very thorough and specific to what it is that you need to lay that foundation? So
that's right. And people
great,
who
great
get serious about their business ultimately end up at that point of just hiring the people, or at least working with somebody kind of in a partnership, you know,
right.
that can help them get what they need. So for
exactly.
sure.
It's the difference between an expense and an investment, you know, like
mm-hmm.
invest in the things that give you peace of mind and know that if you don't, oftentimes, and this is, again, not a scare tactic. I just want all of my entrepreneurs to be set up right, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to probably save you time and money in the long run, so why not invest it early on so that you don't have to deal with it on the back end in a not fun way, you
That's
know?
Right.
So.
It saves you time. That's right, for sure. And I often see people on the back end, like, what?
Right.
Well, I should have done this years ago. And in the coaching world, I know there's a term called, like, toleration. Like, what is it that you're tolerating in your life that you're either not dealing with that either needs to
right.
go away or you deal with, right? So
right.
things that we
mm-hmm.
tolerate are all the, like, I should.
Right.
I should
yep.
take my health more seriously. I should, you know, whatever. We all have a million shoulds for the most part.
Right.
And legal tends to be usually in there, and it's kind of a heavier I should because people know, especially once you're in business and you're being serious about your business, they know that they should get legal advice and get the protections in place. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's a lot of things that keep people from doing it. One is the perception that it's going to just be cost prohibitive, either so expensive, you know, they just can't do it right now,
mm-hmm.
or they don't know where to start. You know, law is
right.
just as segmented as medicine or any other specialty. And so people often are like, well, yeah, I can talk to an attorney, but I don't know if they're the right attorney. I don't know if they're going to have the expertise that I need. Do they really understand my business and the online component of being in business?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of valid reasons in there that people hesitate to go get this done. And again,
right.
the goal through my business is to make it easier for people, to give them the education that they need, make more responsible choices up front, and help them see it doesn't have to be that scary. So,
right.
Exactly.
You
and
know, one thing that's my clients who are listening right now and my audience is that they know that I believe that the word expensive is a state of, you know, it's a mindset. It's a state
mm-hmm.
of mind. So, and or saying things like, I can't afford something, that is a mindset. You know, we remove that from our language. Anyone who's around me, friends, clients, colleagues,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, if you use those words, I can't afford, you are showing yourself, your subconscious mind, that you have these limitations. And in my opinion, if you want to have a successful entrepreneurial mindset, then you've got to look at things differently and say, you know what, it's not about whether or not I can afford this. It's about setting myself up for success and knowing that as I continue to take things one step at a time, one day at a time in the right direction, I am going to have that abundance come into my business. I am going to build a wildly successful entrepreneurial business. So
mm-hmm.
that's why I think that when people start saying things like that, well, I don't know, I just don't know if I can afford it. It's just like a coaching program, you know. Well, I don't
mm-hmm.
know if I can afford it. You know, it's like, well, what's your plan if you don't do it? You know, what's your
yeah.
plan if you don't do it? And that's why so many small business owners and entrepreneurs within the first year, they quit, or within the first
mm-hmm.
couple years, they think it's too hard or something bad happens. And I always think,
mm-hmm.
why not take the right steps, set yourself up right, do the things
mm-hmm.
that you see people who are on the other side of the beginning stages of it. You know, they've taken those
mm-hmm.
steps. They might be a few years ahead of you. but they've gotten to the other side of it, you know. So that's why this kind of information is so crucial.
Yeah, and let's talk for a moment because, you know, you raise the issue of, like, what happens if you don't do it? If you don't put this protection in place, you know, obviously I've seen what happens, but a lot of people end up, you know, learning it at some point. Like, they come to get protections put in place only when they have an emergency to deal with or a client who's caused a big problem for them. And so we can contrast, like, what happens when you do put this stuff in place versus what happens when you don't. You know, one, the very first and most important thing that we talked about is your personal assets are at risk. Whenever you are in business, and I just invite people to really, you know, consider how seriously they're taking their business. If, especially, you know, first of all, if you have personal assets, but also if you are in a marriage where your partner has assets, right? In community property state, personal liability opens up your whole pot of assets, including your marital pot of assets.
Right.
So people often forget that it's not just about them being a little individual running along doing their business. It's, you know, if you have got a partner, if you've got family, I invite you to take it much more seriously. You know, the next thing that happens if you don't put this in place is that I really think you are missing an opportunity to provide clarity for yourself and for your business. And a lot of times, you know, being the attorney, I emphasize how much protection you're going to have from problems, right, that clients can cause for you. And I don't, you know, and that's coming from somebody who's had the benefit of, you know, quite a few years of working with really fabulous clients. And it's not that I'm an overly fearful person. I just have seen that all it takes is one person to really screw up another person's business and life. And, you know, it only takes once. And that's just the unfortunate risk of doing business, really any kind of business, but for sure a business where other people are relying on your information. And so I had one client who had, you know, is a leader in her field, done quite a bit of business. And the first thing she said to me when she got back to me after we put some of these tools in place is, like, just the amount of clarity that she felt for herself, not even around, like, protecting herself from her clients, but just knowing, like, she'd taken that step, put this stuff in place. And again, it was that, like, big sigh of relief of, like, okay, I did it. I'm done. Like, that is one thing that I do not have to worry about. I have clarity now on what the tools are and how I'm going to use them. And so, you know, clarity is, think of it also as the peace of mind element. And that's what Amy was touching on just a minute ago, was, you know, when you have things that are, you know, really, truly soaking up emotional energy. You know, when you are a business person and you've got a personal life, like, that is not emotional energy you need to keep spending with little worries and stuff in the background taking up your time. So putting these kinds of documents and protections in place can really just eliminate that. You know that you've done what you need to do, you know, and it certainly those things are not going to protect you from everything, but they're a huge piece of the puzzle. So getting those in place give you a lot more emotional energy to spend in other areas of your life. You know, and the other thing that, you know, people want, like, concrete examples of, like, how does this help? You know, I can tell you numerous times that, you know, I've worked with people who've come to me not having had these things in place. And, you know, the worst, it's really unfortunate, it's aggravating as an attorney to see this, but somebody like any of you on the call, like Amy, who delivers great content to people who participate in her programs, having somebody from inside one of your programs or your one-on-one coaching take your content or take your method, turn it around, and start using it and selling it in their own business. And it's just, it really is shocking how many people are willing to do that. And I would say that in the last week, I've had three different people, all very good in their industry, come to me with that exact issue. Yeah, and I mean, and we're not even talking like taking a little bit of content. We're talking like logging into a program that's a monthly membership, but where you have kind of evergreen access, taking all the content and going and, you know, putting it up under their own website.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And another woman who does video trainings, you know, really, really specific on a specific topic. with a very specific title. Like somebody took all of her content, made her own videos doing the exact same thing, changed one word in the title, and it's now selling it for her. Right? So this happens from people that you trust and that you care about and that you've tried to take great care of inside of your program, not even just random website visitors.
Right.
So let's talk about the difference between having, for example, program terms of purchase in place, right? Mm-hmm. That's a document that's going to govern that particular purchase versus not.
Right.
When you don't have that in place, you are just relying on copyright law generally, right? So that's fine. It is protective. But when you have terms and conditions in place, you also now have a binding contract, right? So you then are also protected by contract law. You have an additional layer of protection from a legal standpoint. And the easiest way to respond to anybody who would do that to you or your business is to send them a copy of the terms and conditions, which is a legally binding contract, especially if you have it be something that, like, they have to check or confirm that they reviewed prior to the purchase, right, which is how I always advise my clients to do it. Then you're not only protected by federal copyright law, but then you're protected by your contractual language that says, look, you know, here's the way in which you can use the material. And usually that's provided under a limited license, a user license. And generally there's language in there protecting them from any kind of duplication, copying, using it as the foundation of any other service or their own business, right? There's a whole bunch of protection in place. And it becomes a much simpler thing to sort out, especially for people who have purchased something from you, when you have a contract in place also governing their purchase.
Right.
It's way more straightforward. And an attorney or anybody who's going to help you resolve it can look right to the contract, you know, probably add in a bit about federal copyright law and get right back to them. And it's going to be really obvious to them and to other people, you know, what the issue is, especially where they've snagged your content. And if that ever happens, by the way, if you ever are subject to that kind of treatment, of course, the first thing you do is, you know, make sure that you screenshot, that you copy whatever access you have of the content that they have copied of yours. You know, obviously make images of it so that you have that to rely on when you go either consult with an attorney or get in touch with them directly, you know, which you always can do on your own and use your own contract language to say, hey, look, it looks like you have violated provision number 4. Like, we need to talk about this to get it resolved, right?
For sure.
So that's the difference, you know, and when these people who have come to me have not had anything in place, you know, it's generally after weeks of stressing out and like, what do I do? How do I deal with this? You know, again, it gets back to clarity. When you have contracts in place, boom, you know that you go right to the contract. You look at that language, and if you can't deal with it, then you get some legal help that can help you deal with it. But, it, you know, almost always you're going to be referring back to a contract. So in the absence of that, then it becomes like, you know, just relying on federal copyright law, which, again, has has quite a bit of protection, but it becomes a much more clear avenue for redress when you've got that contract. So yeah, and that's the sad part, is I do get to see how frequently people are willing to take other people's work. I mean, what they've poured months and sometimes years of their life into developing, you know, somebody can just snag it. So it's pretty heartbreaking.
Yeah, so if any of you who are listening try to snag my stuff, I'm calling Heather. Just don't do it, because she's my my legal website lawyer, and you better watch out.
Yeah,
no,
heaven
really
forbid.
Good information, you know, because it does happen. I've seen it happen, and, you know, as I grow my own businesses and as my entrepreneurial clients grow their businesses, like then you open yourself up to people all over the world that
That's
you don't
right.
know. And
that's
it's very it's very common that people do this, unfortunately, but that's why we have these documents in place. So time is going by so fast. I did want to ask this question because I know it's something that I've dealt with in the past, and I know that others have dealt with this. Clients of mine have asked me this question. So what should an entrepreneur do when a client does not fulfill payment, or sometimes they even go kind of MIA on you? What do you recommend?
Absolutely.
In that?
Yeah, and that's a good question, because it often happens. It's happened to me, you know, and sometimes it's as simple. I've had clients who you know, they're just late or they forgot or, you know, whatever. Something came up and it just takes following up with them. And then they, you know, they make their payment or whatever. And then other people really just, like I said, the two clients who made partial payments and then stopped paying. You know, I think they were both in scenarios where they just couldn't. And, you know, at that point, if you have somebody who is not just trying to be a jerk and rip you off, it becomes a personal choice of whether you seek back payment or just, you know, simply stop the services, right? You always have the choice to stop from your end. If it's happening a lot, if like if you're finding that you're just having quite a few clients not paying, you know, then I would say, you know, probably the best thing to do is going to be take a look at your business model. And this is where we can talk about red flags. And then we can also talk about, you know, evaluating what it is you're doing in your business that either is causing confusion for a client or, you know, maybe is causing them to believe you're not delivering services the way that you say you did. And only in the instance where you're having a lot of that, like, repetition of not paying.
Right.
We're all going to get it from time to time, right? And those aren't the instances I'm talking about. But there are ways that you can either adjust your business policies, the way that you collect payments. So we can talk about one tool that I always recommend people use if they know they're going to be collecting recurring payments. And it, specifically, if you don't have either an automatic payment processor set up that is going to do it for you automatically, then I've built a form that I help clients implement that allows them to get essentially advance authorization for payments that will be made on such and such dates in the following amounts, right? And then it's just a matter of running the credit card. You know, that in the legal context, you know, some of the best advice I got early on, because I was managing my own practice from the beginning, is when you're working with clients, and this might sound a little weird, but bill early and often. And that was just a phrase that stuck with me, meaning that you want people to understand it's a trade, right? And you want them to get in the habit of paying you. And so some people, just by changing the way that you structure your payments, whether it's a program, you know, maybe rather than three payments that are spaced out, you know, farther out, you do make it a monthly payment or you make it a bigger upfront payment. And some people, I mean, there are coaching programs and various types of consulting services that require everything up front. You know, you want us for a year to help you with whatever strategies in your business or your marketing plan or whatever, then you pay a lump sum up front that covers that agreement. And so there are various ways that you can actually structure your payment that may resolve the issue. If it's that somebody, you know, their credit card doesn't work or whatever, you know, it just depends on the scenario. May just, again, be a follow-up call to remind them. Or if they're, you know, just breaking the contract, then you'll have to decide how you deal with that. And you can deal with it either by, you know, trying to stay in conversation with them, finding out what's not working or, you know, what needs to be resolved, or getting legal assistance if somebody's really stiffed you.
Absolutely.
You know, but the things that I've noticed both in my own businesses and in working with others is that we often, whether we like to admit it, we often do get little red flags with people who end up becoming problem clients. And those we just have to learn to pay attention to over time. I had a client early on, and I called him like the, like the Uncle Bob scenario, where I was giving him advice around a certain, you know, issue. And he kept saying, well, my Uncle Bob says this, you know, and it was like that kind of dynamic from the very beginning. And I just shouldn't have taken him on as a client, because clearly he wasn't going to be listening to me if Uncle Bob was coming into the picture every 2 seconds, and that's basically what happened. So there are ways when you look back that you will get signals from some clients, not everybody, because, again, online business, you can't get those signals from everybody when you're not necessarily interacting with them before you engage in business. If somebody just comes and signs up for a program or signs up for one of your services, you don't always know them in advance. So one is just pay attention to any red flags and really try to monitor those in a way that you can spot any trends, either in the way that you are running your own business or delivering your services that may need changing, or just in being able to weed out certain clients earlier in the process.
Right. Awesome.
Yeah, and if somebody really truly goes missing in action and they just are not responsive and they owe you money and they're not living up to their obligation, you know, there's no way you can force them to do anything outside of getting an attorney involved. So that's the unfortunate answer for that scenario.
Definitely. Well, we're so running out of time, unfortunately, but was there anything else that you felt would be beneficial for all these wonderful entrepreneurs that are hearing this call that they should know, or even how to reach you?
Well, one is I really want to take the perceived weight off of like the legal world, and people do feel kind of like, you know, a lot of trepidation about it. And so I just invite people to understand that if you're connected with the right person, this doesn't have to be hard for you. It can be straightforward getting these tools plugged into your business, you know, getting some advice and evaluating individually where you are and what you need can be very helpful. You may need a couple pieces. You may need all the pieces. Just depends on your, you know, your own situation. But if you are having that nagging little, like, I really should do this, my business I know needs a couple of these tools, don't put it off, only because you'll be kicking yourself so hard if you do and something bad happens, or you do have a problem client. You could have had the opportunity, you know, pretty simply to get some of these in place. Because truthfully, every single client that I've worked with has come back and said, oh, I'm so relieved.
It's true. I'm one of them. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's okay. I'm not here to beat anybody up, because like I said, I've lived on both sides of the fence, and I totally understand people who are more like the visionary type. I just want to do the deals. I don't want to like deal with all this paperwork. Like, I get it. Business is fun and it should be fun, and you want contracts and tools that are really designed for your business and work for you. But don't, you know, if it's something that's been bugging you or nagging you, don't put it off. Don't worry. Don't stress out about it. Just, you know, tackle it one step at a time, and I promise it's much easier than it sounds.
Right.
Awesome. And for me, yeah, I'm happy to do quick consults with people to help them walk through what tools they might benefit from. They're obviously welcome to go to my website. I've got a lot of great resources that are already on my website. If you look at my business tips section, and that's at legalwebsitewarrior.com. Business tips is on there, but there's a lot of articles on there that are going to help people who are already in business do things the right way and just pay attention to little things that they may not have considered before.
Right, definitely. And then did you have something special that you wanted to share, or am I remembering correctly? I'm on the spot here.
No, that's okay. So, I mean, the one thing, I would be very happy for anybody on this call to offer a free consultation that walks you through your individual business. Generally, what I'll do is I'll refer people to a video that I've created that will kind of go through some blanket information, but I'd be very happy to connect in person with anybody here. And then if you think you are somebody who will, you know, pretty shortly be wanting to get these tools in place, let's have a conversation, because I definitely could add in a bonus or two for you specific to my Legal Basics program, which is coming out in the next week or two.
Awesome.
So I'm just right on the verge of opening that up, and I've got all the tools built. I've just got to do a few back-end things to get it all put together properly.
Right. And just to, so people are clear, you can work with people outside of Washington State, correct?
That's right. Yeah. So through my legal coaching business, I work with people all around the United States. So East Coast, South, California, everywhere.
Everywhere. Fantastic. Well, Heather, this has been so much fun. I am going to, I know we're also sharing this with my clients in my program, so I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording, but I want us all to stay on the line for those of us who are listening to the live call for Q&A. We can maybe take a few extra minutes for Q&A if that's okay with you.
Absolutely.
But for the rest of you who are listening to this, I hope that you've been able to take some really great notes. Heather Pierce Campbell, she's such a wonderful resource. Be sure to check out her website at legalwebsitewarrior.com. And Heather, I just want to thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for joining us and empowering these entrepreneurs to set themselves up with all the legal documents and everything to be a professional, incredible entrepreneur. So thank you for joining me.
Oh, thank you, Amy. I'm very honored to be here.
Awesome. All right. Take care.